Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now Weekly Radio Show, hosted by Vicki Winterton, founder of Expert Insights Publishing, home of best-selling books, award-winning magazines, global broadcasts and communities. Right Now is a highly educational, inspiring, and empowering show focused on writing, publishing, and marketing your books, featuring outstanding guests from across the globe, including best-selling authors, world stage speakers, thought leaders, and visionaries with proven strategies, secret formulas, and treasured resources to help you succeed and make an impact. Welcome, sit back, and enjoy the show. And now your host, Vicki Winterton.
Hi, this is Vicki Winterton, and I'm thrilled today because we have with us Devon Galladay. Devon started traveling for real in 1985, and since then he has been able to cover over 80 countries around the world after 17 years in the travel industry, writing for travel trade, as well as the consumer. He has learned a thing or two about travel, and he'll also tell us a little bit about his new memoir, 10,000 Miles with My Dead Father's Ashes. Welcome, Devon.
Vicki, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
I am so excited that you're here. I always enjoy talking with you and your lovely wife, Morgana. And I would love it if you would tell people a little bit about how you started down this path of travel writing. And I think it's just amazing because you've done so much free travel all over the world, like no one else I know.
I've been pretty fortunate. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of started out by begging. I went to a travel editor. I had started writing magazine articles, and I begged him. That's exactly what I did, and he said, I don't need you. I have a million writers, and I said, I totally get that, but one day you'll be in a bind. And if you are, think of me. And he said, I won't be, and I said, I totally get that. But if you are in a bind, think of me. And he said, that won't happen. And so, long story short, I got a call one day, and I didn't even know what I was getting myself into. I got a call, and it was basically, hey, do you have a valid passport, and can you be on a plane? I'm in a bind. And so I ended up in Mexico, and it's been a long time. I mean, if you love travel, this is really an ideal circumstance, and I'm a huge believer that we're supposed to know each other, and the only way really to do that is to go pack a bag and go somewhere. Whether you're going to stay at a Four Seasons or you're going to do some rucksacking staying in a youth hostel, and I've done both, and I love it.
That is so fantastic. From this amazing career, you decided to write an amazing book. Tell us a little bit about the book that's coming out and how that all transpired.
Well, I can tell you this much. I mean, there is some travel elements in it, but that wasn't the case at all. I mean, this is a memoir. It's the story of the relationship between me and my father. And he was, can I just be blunt with you? He was,
yes.
I think if he was educated and didn't come from a very poor family of 13 children, and he had gotten some opportunities, he would have been dangerous. But I think he did the best he could, and that kind of turned him into quite a con man and an interesting character. And for a period of time, I tried to be just like him. And I mean, I nailed it for at least a period of time in my life until I couldn't stand it anymore. And I had to really look at my own life. And so a lot of this book is kind of exploring his final request. That's really the framework. His final request. He had told his seventh wife that he wanted to be scattered off the coast of Cadiz, Spain, to return home. But he wasn't Spanish, and I don't think he had ever been to Spain. Be that as it may, I ended up with his ashes and decided to take him to Spain to give him his final request granted. And
wow.
During that time, I got to think a lot about what our relationship had become, and how I could go from a place of loving him to hating him, to idolizing him, to doing everything that was in my power to be not like him, to kind of learn from, I believe, the lessons that I had understood from how his life had turned out, which, as you might imagine, I think we all have somebody in our family that we love and care for who goes down the wrong path. And so it really is an exploration of, father-son relationship and maybe to some degree really reevaluating my life, because a lot of the lessons that I had learned from him were not the pleasant lessons. You know what I mean? This wasn't the father-son bonding kinds of experiences that I would have hoped for. Instead, it was me sort of really looking at my own life in relationship to him. And I learned a lot from that.
Wow, it is so fascinating. So I know that this book has meant so much to you, and certainly you were in a quandary about the direction you wanted to take in actually getting the book published. Tell us a little bit about that and how you found a path that you were really comfortable going down.
Well, I think that the path was sort of more presented to me, but I think what you're saying is absolutely true, and we've talked about this before, Vicki, is that I think when I started, that the dream is that I wrote a great book and Random House and Simon & Schuster would be fighting to the death over this book, and I would get $1 million advance and money would just fall from the sky and people would know who you are. In terms of the reality of it, that's not kind of the way it was. And so I kept going back and forth between, well, do I want to just print on demand? Do I want to go with a hybrid publisher? Do I want a Random House? Do I want a fancy agent? And so I kept trying all of these different avenues. And what I eventually did was, and it was really quite through a friend of a friend. First off, I have to say that, especially for the aspiring writers, is that writing your book is a certain amount of work. But then the reality of the business of publishing has to show up. And that means you have to be willing, just as you were, to really kind of go through whether or not you wanted to use as in the middle of a sentence. You have to take the same care in really, I mean, this is your book. Nobody's going to be responsible for it or have care for it the way you will. And so I really kind of went through all of the agents and I went through book publishers, and it was really a long-term process of who am I willing to turn my book over to. And so it was a time-consuming thing. It took a good couple years, and when it happened very quickly. And ironically, this publisher actually had the book in their possession for, I think, about 10 months. By the time I had actually gotten a yes from them. Can I tell you that story a little bit?
Yeah,
it might be useful to your listeners and readers, is that I had sent them a query, and the publisher responded within a couple days and said, okay, send me a marketing proposal. And I had one, so I sent that out immediately. And I was actually pretty pleased with that marketing proposal. And by the way, if a writer doesn't have one, I highly recommend that they do that, because it's a partnership of how you're going to sell your work. So you should have an outline of what that thing is. So I sent that along, and a couple days later, the publisher got back with me and said, okay, send me the manuscript, but I can't promise you anything. And, get back to me in a few months. That was a much longer wait than I was hoping. So a few months later, I wrote the publisher and no response. And then I wrote again a month after that, no response. And then a third month, no response. And then I got a very small publisher. And that small publisher said yes immediately. We started working and talking together. And this went on for a few weeks. The publisher had given me a contract, which I signed. It wasn't the most ideal thing, but I knew that I could move on from there because I had more stories to write, because that's what writers do. And they got back in touch with me a week or so later and said that their business had changed in ways they didn't expect and that they were going to release me. And so I licked my wounds for a few days, assuming that I was a failure, and I allowed myself to feel that. And then I thought, you know what, I'm going to try again. And I sent out some more queries to some other publishers and agents. And then I literally wrote to the publisher I have now and I said, hey, listen, I dropped the ball. And this is after I had written them a number of times and they didn't get back to me. I said, I dropped the ball, but I'm selling my book this month. And I want to tie up some loose ends. Where are we? And ironically, after not hearing from this publisher for like 9 months, he wrote back an hour later. He goes, we love this. We're in. And it went from there. So when I look back at it, I think it's just part of the trials and tribulations of what it means to be a writer. Like, you have to roll with it. You have to expect a certain measure of rejection because you're really only looking for the right combination. And so this publisher, from the moment we started talking, was kind of, I certainly wouldn't expect this from a Random House. I got the sense that they were truly behind the book. And the negotiation process was pretty easy. And I'm really happy with where this book is at and where we're headed with it.
That is fantastic, really fantastic. As I've mentioned to you before, I think it's so great when you get to that place where you maybe had a little discomfort about what direction to go, and then this happens, and all of a sudden it's totally comfortable, and the book is just rolling right along, and it's wonderful. I wanted to ask you, when I interview writers that have written memoirs, I always wonder about the personal nature of the story that you have to tell, and you have to be so authentic in order to write a really good book like you did. Was that difficult in sharing things so close to your soul?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I had to really get in line with the idea that if I was to tell you a story, it had to be the real story. And quite literally, the moment that I finished writing the book, because my father has passed, obviously, the title gives it away, but there's other people who know and love him who are still around. And I had to sit down with my mother and quite literally say, I work really hard on this book and nobody looks great. This is not a book of compliments. I'm not going to look like a rock star by the end of it. And it's something that I had to embrace. Like, there's just a certain element that when you are writing such a personal story, that you really have to just trust your story and your intuition in the reason why you're writing it. I think that if I had, like, I made certain changes in it. You know, if I felt I was describing somebody in really a mean way, where I was being unnecessary with it, I would change it. But I didn't do that with any of the points that mattered within the story. Does that make sense? Like, I didn't want to pull back punches of what I was thinking and what I was feeling from moment to moment within the story. And it covers a fairly lengthy span of my life. So I had to just be completely authentic in what my experience was in that moment, because I felt that if I had recoiled from it, if I tried to do the safer thing, that I would not be doing justice or service to the story that I worked so hard to create.
Mm, that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful way of going about this creative endeavor, you know, with that attitude in place. Really wonderful. What would you like the readers to take away from reading the book?
That's a great question. I'm still working on the answer, and it changes all the time. I want readers to be entertained by my terrible choices that I made through a big chunk of my life. I want readers to learn that you can really take a dysfunctional relationship and make sense out of it for your long-term well-being. I think you can find humor in really darkness and despair. And I think that was sort of the direction that I took with it, because I think there were points that, even though they were painful, I had to recognize that just from the distance of it, I could say, wow, I can't believe that those things happened. And I can't believe that I said the things that I did and participated in this relationship in the way that I had. And so I think that's part of it, is that when you really lay it all out there, that you have to allow the audience to take what they will from it. But at the end of the day, what would I like? I want somebody who's gone through a painful relationship to go, okay, I can walk through this. And maybe I can walk through this in a messy way and it's still going to be okay. And maybe, like, ironically, I think when I started writing the story, I was pretty angry. And I think now that I've really worked my way through it, I think I have a much better relationship with my father. You know, since he died, he's still with me. There are certain things that are part of our relationship that I think are going to stay with me for the duration of my own life.
Mm. Oh, wow. It's just so powerful. It truly is. So is there another book coming up for you, Devin?
Ironically, there is. Right now, I'm working on two books, and the publisher is actually looking at one of them. The first is sort of the relationship that I have with my mother. Now, she's still alive, so I'm going to have to, because I'm about 40,000 words into it. I'm pretty deep into the story, and at some point, you know, I'm going to have to sit mom down once again and have a conversation about it. I think she's on board. I think she understands, you know, where I'm coming from, not only as a writer, but her son in particular. And then I have another book that I'm working on about, ironically, my wife and I, as you know very well. You have actually participated in a portion of this book where I'm going to be going through our first 20 weddings. For your audience who doesn't know, my wife and I have so far been married 20 times in 15 countries on our quest to get married 100 times in 100 countries. And so, matter of fact, we had the great honor and pleasure to get married at one of your events. Is that okay to say that?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was really a remarkable wedding. So I'm going to be looking forward to writing about it. And the focus of that will be much more about what I have learned as somebody who keeps getting married. Like, there's some real specific benefits. And I think it's something that's really important for those who are thinking about getting married or people who are in long-term relationships or intend to be in long-term relationships. So I think there's a certain real practical usefulness to it. And hopefully it's going to be a little bit dark and a little bit funny and a little bit about what is love anyway.
And, you know, I would love it, Devin, if you would share why you continue to remarry your wife, because you have told me many of the things you've shared about that were so touching. I think if you don't mind sharing, I'd love to hear it and have our audience hear it.
No, of course. So, you know, there's a couple things that are going on here, and I'll be honest with you. I would love to tell you that I'm just a romantic at heart and I love and all of those kind of cliche things, but really I'm kind of a boy. And so I love my wife. She's a beautiful woman. I have much admiration for her. And, you know, at the same time, basically what had happened was we were in Puerto Vallarta and we were walking down this street near this place, Our Lady of Guadalupe. It's a 150-year-old cathedral. And we were walking with another writer friend, and my wife and I had just gotten married for the first time. And we were walking down the street, and I said, completely as a boyish kind of goof, I said, why don't we go in there and get married again? And my wife said, oh, absolutely. And the friend who was on the other side said, well, I'm ordained. And I said, great. I took off my wedding ring. I handed it to her. And I said, terrific, you're presiding. So the three of us walked to the head of this cathedral, and there's people praying. And it wasn't like a, you know, churches in session, so to speak, but people were praying in the pews. And so this woman that I didn't know very well started talking about her love and her husband and the relationship and what it meant to them. And I'm kind of still thinking, well, this is some silly, goofy thing that I'm doing. And then what happened is I started thinking, as this woman was presiding, I was thinking, you know, there were some things in the first set of vows that I didn't say. Like, I knew my wife a teeny bit more, and there was a few things that I wanted to mention. And I started talking about what I wanted for her happiness and how I wanted to specifically support her goals and visions for her own wellness and happiness and long-term prosperity. So all of a sudden, I looked back at this woman presiding, and I realized she was tearing up. And I looked back at my wife, and she was in tears. And I looked back in the pews, and all of a sudden, they were watching. And the thing that I realized is that in recreating this wedding or having these new weddings that obviously we've done quite a bit now, is that the world out there is a scary place. It's imperfect and we're flawed and all kinds of things can go wrong. And it's wonderful that we have this celebration of love. And then I discovered that the more we celebrated our love with these weddings and these events is that regardless of how scary the outside world was, my wife truly understood, like deep in her heart, that here's a guy who's willing to marry me over and over and over again and talk about what I want to have for her over and over and over again. So no matter how bad things got out there, she knew that she was on solid ground with me. And this is going to sound really cliche, happy wife, happy life. Like, it doesn't get any more complicated than that. Like, I can't believe that other guys haven't really figured this out. And I'm not saying it like in this cliche way. Like, I mean, really, it's like happy wife, happy life is not a joke. She feels completely 100% confident in my love for her because I keep doing these ridiculous weddings with her. And some of them are outrageous. I mean, the one that we had with you was like a spectacle. I mean, it was an epic, remarkable wedding with dancers and incense and pagan crosses and dancing horses and a lasso champion. I mean, it was remarkable. Costumed performers. So all of those things, not only are they fun and enriching, but they also, again, like my wife got to hear how much I care for her in a very public forum. And the meaningfulness of that is great. I don't like speaking for her, but I know that it fills her. And when she is safe and confident within our love, then she doesn't have to worry about all the nonsense that happens within relationships. She knows that I'm on her team. She mm-hmm. knows that I'm upfront with her. And so, honestly, one of the best, as I said, a goof, I think it was one of the best goofs I've ever made.
It's just amazing. Well, we're so excited about your book that is going to be coming out soon and two books following up. And I know that they can be found on Amazon when they're out there. But can you tell us maybe a website or someplace people can go to connect with you? Because I know they're going to want to, Devin, no question.
Oh, absolutely. And I hate to do this to everybody, but it's my name, DevinGalladay.com, no space, /dad. So Devin Galladay, DevinGalladay.com, /dad. It'll give you more of the specific synopsis of the book. And I don't mind telling you that, you know, one of the joyous moments is where I finally take my father's ashes to the point and I somehow lose them. But that is another part of the story that we will save for later. But it is, I think, an entertaining book that your readers will really appreciate, you know, in terms of the emotions tied to it. I dug deep. This was a hard one to write. So I feel confident that it's going to be something that will be appreciated. You know, to learn more about me and our weddings and stuff like that, that's also on DevinGalladay.com.
Wonderful. Devin, thank you so much for the generosity of your time and the great generosity in creating this book that's so near and dear to your heart and sharing it with all of us when it comes out. So appreciate it.
Vicki, I think you are doing such wonderful work within the publishing industry. And I've gone to your events, and I think you are such a good hearted person. So I'm grateful. This is an aside. Really, thank you. You do such wonderful work in the world of publishing. I personally am absolutely grateful.
Oh, Devin, thank you so much. And again, thank you for being here today. And for all of you out there that would like to learn more about Expert Insights, our best-selling books, our award-winning magazines, our global broadcast and communities, you can find us at getei.com. That's GETEI.com. And everyone have a wonderful week.